Welcome to the Informed Pregnancy and Parenting Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Elliot Berlin. In my prenatal chiropractic practice, I often see new moms struggling to find some semblance of balance between career and motherhood. Our guest today is a new mom who has had an interesting career trajectory. During life before pregnancy, she worked for some of the biggest names in fashion doing development and design. After relocating to Los Angeles, she fell head over heels in love with wardrobe styling, expertly creating looks for her celebrity client red carpet appearances, music videos, and world tours. Her forever New York persona took the limelight when she recently appeared with her husband on Bravo's hit show, Stripped. As a TV correspondent, she's covered the red carpet events and makes regular appearances promoting herself as a brand. After the recent birth of her daughter, she has transitioned into a mompreneur and a mommy influencer, inspiring her followers with both her fashion sense and with real-life, day-to-day experiences in motherhood. She's here today to talk about career, pregnancy, birth, and maybe some juicy gossip. Allie Levine, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. Wow, that was like quite the intro. I mean, I'll take it.
Thank you very much. Yeah. All right, where do you come from?
Well, like you said, I'm originally from New York.
New Yorker.
Yes.
You don't even talk as much as I thought you would.
Just get me started.
Okay. A beer?
Yeah, it was like a little bit of wine. I moved out here 9 years ago, and I was, like you said, working in the entertainment industry. Mm-hmm. I was working in New York in movies and television when it used to be really big mm-hmm. in New York. And so I was working for like Oliver Stone as a production assistant. Oh. Yeah, he's amazing and insane at all the same time. And worked for like, you know, some really big names and ended up going to Atlanta to work on Big Mama's House. I think it was 2 or 3 with Martin Lawrence and his team. Mm. And half the costume department was from LA. And they said, "What are you doing in New York?" And I was like, "I don't know. I've been in New York pretty much my whole life, you know, like minus going to college for a hot 2 years in Arizona. That's a whole other story. Ooh. Following a stupid boy, didn't work out.
Cheated on really me,
came back to
years.
New York, you know. Oh. Not good, but that's okay. You know, you live and learn. But that was the only time I really was like on the West Coast. So I'm like, why would I go to LA? And they're like, well, if you want more of the trending and fashion and what you're telling me you're into, like that's not, you know, New York for entertainment. That's LA. So they offered to help get me started and, you know, get me in the costume house and get in the union and work for them for a year. And I thought, well, hell, no one really gives offers like that, right? So packed my bags, told my boyfriend, who's now my husband, Justin, hey, I'm going to
LA. That one did work out.
That one did work out. Thank God.
Yeah. Where did your passion for fashion come from in the first place?
I would say it came from my grandmother. She's now passed, but that's who my daughter is named after, Amelia. Oh. And she was like always so into fashion. She dressed impeccably. She always taught me to express myself like through my outfits. I would dress up in her outfits when I was like all of 2 years old, you know, her boas, spray her perfume, like try to put her heels on, the whole thing, fall
kind
down
of
the stairs.
Picture it, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it was like I was just the whole thing. And she always encouraged me. And so I would take like painting classes, sewing classes, like all kinds of stuff. And I just truly fell in love with fashion, and fashion has always been my passion.
Is that what you were studying in Arizona?
Yes. I was studying at Northern Arizona Merchandising Association. I was the president of the Merchandising and Design Association there. And so it was like there's huge fashion club for the school that I got to be the president of, because I ended up going to this school for a guy, but it worked out because I was this kind of big fish in a small pond, if you will. So everybody was like, oh, this New Yorker can take over our club and help us like bring in real fashion. And so it was awesome because I got to be a part of like huge fashion shows and ended up connecting with like Target and Macy's and all these companies. And I actually got my first job out of college with Target because of my fashion club at school. Yeah.
Right on Target.
Yeah, right on Target. So, you know, it worked out not with the guy, but with work. And so I always felt like fashion was my passion. I've said for a long time, confidence is your best accessory. Mm. And I always feel like when I'm dressing clients or even telling myself when I'm getting myself together, like you need to feel confident. Otherwise, nothing else is going to work.
Do you miss New York?
I do miss New York.
What about it?
I miss a lot about it. I miss my friends. I miss my family. I miss the realness, you know? Everyone says, oh, New Yorkers are so blunt. New Yorkers are so rude. New Yorkers are blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, we just tell you how it is. Like, if I want to sit and have a conversation with you, great, I'm going to have it. But if I'm not into it, I'm not going to do it. But in LA, people do it anyway. And it's like, why? You know?
It's true. It's a little artificial sometimes.
You think?
A little.
Might just be, you know, everybody's kind of getting like plugged up with filler and stuff, which I have no shade for because I did before I was pregnant. Mm. But, you know, New York is just so, I don't know, it's just so authentic and people are just like who they are and nobody's apologizing for it. And a lot of people see that as rude. But for me, that was like what I was used to. So when I came out here and people said, you're too loud, you're too honest, you're too this, you're too that, I was like, oh, what? You know, I was like, what are you talking about? Tone it down. Sugarcoat that a little. That dress doesn't look great on them. And I was like, the dress looks horrible. And they're like, no, Allie, like just a little bit of sugar. And I was like, what? I don't sugarcoat. So that was really hard for me.
Yeah, the dress looks horrible with sugar on top. Oh.
Yeah, you know, I was like, okay, sprinkle some sugar. It still looks terrible.
Yeah,
you know,
my whole family's in New York. And
really?
So I'm a New Yorker, and uh-huh. I miss the bagels. That's
The food is like a whole nother bagels, pizza.
Mm-hmm. It's different.
Sandwiches. I mean, all of it is so different.
It's way different.
Why do you think it's different? I always have this conversation with people.
I don't know why it's different. I'm assuming they're putting nasty crap in there, but it tastes
good. Right? I was going to say, something from the water, something that's horrible, but like somehow tastes
so
delicious.
Good. Like weird bacteria. I don't know.
Yep, I know.
But it's not the same here.
I'm with you.
What do you do, like, when you're looking to, just because we're still in the fashion part of your career, when you're looking to dress somebody, where do you start?
When I'm looking to dress someone, where do I start?
What's the starting point? Like, if I was looking to dress myself, I wear the same thing every day. But
totally. You have a uniform, that's what you stick to.
That's my thing, yeah.
And then there's some people that have a uniform and there's nothing wrong with that. I've actually been teaching moms now that, like, I am a mom, like, how they can create their own uniform, if you will, of like, hey, a little black dress is what makes me feel comfortable, but I don't want to do anything else, then great, then that's what you should wear, and maybe change up your accessories, change up your shoes so that you still feel like you're innovating yourself, but you still feel comfortable, especially as a mom.
In your staple.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a staple. But like,
you
know, back when I first...
That's what it is for me. It's always that little black dress that makes me
feel good
about
myself.
Yeah, I was
going to say, you look great in a little black
dress.
Thank
you so much. I appreciate that. It means a lot coming from you.
But as far as like when I first started, it was really looking at the person and or the celebrity or whoever it was and saying, what is the message? What are you trying to put out there? What are you trying to emulate? You know, what are you going for? Is it edgy? Is it trendy? Is it vintage? Is it completely avant-garde and out there? Like, what, you know, or are you trying to be a Paris Hilton? Like, where are you in the world of fashion? And I try to kind of fine-tune where they are with, like, my own styling techniques and say, okay, well, you love maybe the way that skirt looks, but that skirt overwhelms your body, so you shouldn't wear that type of skirt. I try to take people's ideas of what they want to create and actually make sense of it and style them so that they actually look good. Because at the end of the day, my job is to make sure you look good and, like I said, confident, and you should be wearing the clothes. The clothes shouldn't be wearing you. And that's something I always have a problem with like even huge celebrities. Half the time, I get it. They want to wear these amazing designers. But if the clothing is literally hanging on you and it's doing nothing for you, you might as well have just rolled in with a paper bag because that's what you look like.
It sort of reminds me of when you see people walking a dog and the dog is so big and aggressive, you're not sure who's taking who for a walk.
Completely. I love that analogy.
Thank you very much.
I'm gonna steal that from
you. That's
my
first sense of fashion ever.
Hey, I like it. I'll take it.
Did you have a favorite either job or style that you like?
Oh, I had so many people that I worked with that I really loved styling. Lisa Vanderpump is amazing. I mean, first off,
she rules.
She's just amazing.
See what
first
I did
off.
There?
Like, yeah. And then she's just like her fashion sense and the way she is, like, it was fun to style her because she really knew what she wanted, but she still let me have my fun. So it was like, of course, I can't do her accent. I'm like, darling, I want A, you know, I want A, B, and C. And then I'd be like, okay, this is the world of jumpsuits you think you want. This is the world of gowns. And, like, we would fine-tune, you know. Or, like, say we'd get, like, a plain jumpsuit. And then she'd be like, but I want it to have, like, you know, 100 stones on it. And then we'd, like, go to downtown and, like, have it bedazzled and couture. You know, so it's like, she was fun like that. Yeah. And, like, always wanted to take things to the next level. And that's
creative
what fashion
with a little
is. Yeah.
Taking.
Exactly. So that was fun for me. Another one, Gretchen Rossi. Love her. her. She always, like, even with the beginning of pregnancy, like, let me have fun things to dress her bump. And before that, just she's super glam and loves to wear, like, you know, super glam cocktail outfits and go all out with her accessories and never feels like too much is too much, which I love because I'm like, great, let's keep pouring it on. So, you know, that was, yeah, exactly. That was a lot of fun. Yeah, I've had some really cool clients, like different music videos, editorials. I've been very lucky. So many of my clients have gotten, like, best dressed, like Joey King. Now she's crazy blown up in the world, but I worked with her back when she was kind of, like, just starting in the world, and she always wanted to do avant-garde. Like, she was like, whatever you want to put me in for the red carpet, like, I don't even care if I don't like it. If you think it looks hot, I'll wear it. And I was like, oh, you're my client.
That's cool.
You know, it was
yeah.
really cool. So
you
I
leave it to the
that.
Experts. Yeah.
Yes, and not everybody does that. A lot of people want to go, I'm the expert. And I'm like, okay, then I'll just kind of try to pretend to sit here in my corner while I stew and don't like what you're wearing, you know? Like,
yeah. Wow. All right. Time's flying. We're going to take a little break, but I just will say this. I had a friend who's a stylist for television and movies, and I was thinking about going to fashion school so I can be a stylist because of the amount of points she has on her credit card from buying all that stuff.
That's a true
story. For the studios. I'm like, all right, that's amazing. All right. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with Ali Levine. I understand the mental demands of motherhood. I see it every day in my practice. That's why I'm excited about Needed's new cognitive support. Unlike other supplements, it's specifically formulated with postpartum and breastfeeding moms in mind, using safe and effective ingredients. This means that moms can get the brain boost they deserve without compromising safety. Plus, it includes clinically studied ingredients, proven to support focus and memory. Hurry and get your cognitive support from Needed before you forget. Visit thisisneeded.com and use your code Berlin to get 20% off your initial order. This episode is sponsored by an innovative product that's made a big difference for parents and babies alike, Dr. Mom Butt Balm. As a parent of four, I've had my fair share of battles with diaper rash, often resorting to thick, unpleasant pastes. I only recently discovered Dr. Mom Butt Balm, and I was immediately impressed by its pleasant consistency and ease of application. This pediatric-approved skin protectant is free from dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, making it perfect for your baby's sensitive skin. It's designed by a doctor who's also a mom, ensuring your little one gets the gentlest care. A small dab is all it takes to soothe and protect, avoiding the mess and hassle of traditional treatments. With ingredients like dimethicone and petrolatum, Dr. Mom Butt Balm not only soothes, but also restores your baby's delicate skin. Available on Amazon.com and Walmart.com, it's the smart choice for every parent wanting to keep diaper rash at bay. Remember, with Dr. Mom Butt Balm, nothing comes between you and your baby, not even diaper rash. Welcome back to the Informed Pregnancy Podcast. We're talking to Ali Levine. You had a kid.
I did. I had a little girl. She's 14 and a half months now, which
wow.
I can't even...
It goes fast.
Beyond. Everybody says that to you, but I don't know. I guess in my mind, I'm like, yeah. But now I'm like, oh my gosh,
it's
it goes
going fast.
Yeah.
My baby just turned 15.
Oh.
I mean, not my baby, but my first baby.
Yeah. I mean, but they'll always be your baby, right? This is what
yeah,
everyone tells
it's
me.
Goes so, I'm like, I still haven't taken off the pregnancy weight. Moving on to you, like when you get a bump, is it fun to style it?
Yes. I think dressing the bump is like the most fun because it's like this incredible, you know, magical thing that's happening with the body and you get to do whatever, whether it be like for me, I would wear crop tops, let the belly hang out and like, you know, show it off with like low cut jeans. And there's some people who'd want to put like bedazzle on their Ooh. Belly or, you know, they want to wear a dress that has like only color in the stomach. Like, I just think it's so much fun that people
But then there's
wanna
also
accentuate.
People who want to like just hide it.
Yeah, and, you know, honestly, that makes me sad. I get it. Like, people want to hide it because they don't feel as pretty. But to me, I'm like, you're amazing. Like, you're carrying a human. It's one of the most empowering times of your life, like, that you're creating this life inside of you. To me, I'm like, you should show it off. Like, I personally got, like, I think 4 rounds of maternity photo shoots. My husband was like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm going all out. I got glam. I got gowns. I went vintage for one. I did glam for another. I went edgy for another. Like,
oh,
every
so cool.
Yeah, I had so much fun with it. I was like, yes, here's my bump. Like, let's do it.
You know what? My wife wants me to go on a diet, and I'm thinking that I should probably probably do a photo shoot with my bump because I don't know if I'll have it, you know.
Yeah.
Vintage, what do you think?
Vintage, I think. Would be
bedazzled?
Great. Yeah, a little bedazzled, a little vintage. I could help.
But then in postpartum, it's nice to wear things that sort of, because it takes a little while for that to go away.
Then you're all about the loose fitting and you're like, what can I wear that's even looser? Because people are still asking if I'm pregnant and I'm not.
Oh,
it really
that's
upsets
no fun.
Me.
Yeah.
That really bothers me. Like, why do people think, and not even when people are pregnant, they still ask, well, you're pregnant. It's like, unless you know for a fact, you really shouldn't ask. Right. And then when someone's going through postpartum and their body's still changing, it's like, why do they still? I had people coming up to me going, oh my gosh, how far along are you? And I wanted to bawl my eyes out because I'm out getting a coffee and my daughter's home. And I'm like, actually, I gave birth, you know, 6 weeks ago, but thanks, you know?
No,
like,
that's worse.
It's horrible.
I never want to do that. So whenever I'm in public, I carry pregnancy pee sticks with me. So if I'm not sure, I just, like in the elevator, I'll be like, would you mind peeing on the stick?
I mean,
and when
hey,
it's positive, I'm like, hey, how what do you do?
Yeah, congrats.
Because that's a lot less weird.
I like
weird.
It. Way less weird.
How was your pregnancy?
My pregnancy was interesting.
Was it planned?
It was not really that planned. Well, okay. Going back to Bravo Strip, the whole time on the show, basically it came out that I didn't think I wanted to be a mom and Justin wanted to be a dad. And he had told me when we first met, like, hey, that's kind of a deal breaker. And in my mind, I was kind of like, oh, he might let go of that down the road. And,
wanting to have a kid?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And because, you know, he followed me to L.A. Everything happened so quickly. Like, we just started this life together. And in my mind, like, you know, we would just see what happened. And years went by and it still didn't happen. And my career was my baby, my fashion career. And so when we started being on the show, they were like, why don't you want to have a baby? And kind of confronted me on it, as Bravo likes to do. And I was like, I just want to focus on my career. I just want to keep going. I'm not ready to, like, hit the pause button yet.
Sure.
And they were like, all right, well, you know, your husband's been out here with you. At this point, it was like 8 years, whatever. And they were like, you know, you should really think of giving him a baby, you know. And I was like, all right, thanks.
That's
slow
the
your roll.
Producers?
Oh, yeah. It was like, they were, yeah.
They were like sort of trying to become the reproducer?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they, very well said. So, anyways, after going through this, you know, show and everything, kind of opened my eyes to realizing I was kind of very much in the Hollywood scene. I wasn't focused on my husband or my family or my friends. I was very much being selfish in my own career. And I didn't really see anything else going on. So when the show kind of, when we had finished filming, Justin had said to me, well, can we at least get off the pill? The doctor said it's probably going to be at least a year to get pregnant. You've been on the pill since you were 16 years old. So I did. And Amelia decided about 3 weeks later that I was going to be pregnant. So it was really fast.
Surprise! How'd you find out?
I was in Vegas, actually, for a TV segment because I do, you said, national and local segments. And I was on camera and I felt sick as a dog.
Ooh.
And I turned to my producer and I said, how much longer? Because I think I'm going to go get sick. And she was like, did you drink last night? And I was like, no, I don't know what's wrong with me. And my assistant that was with me was like, Emmy was like making a joke. She's like, you're pregnant. I'm like, no, I'm not, Emmy. And she's like, yes, you are. And sure enough, like, we finished filming. I feel horrible. We go back to the hotel. She's like, I'm going to go buy a pregnancy test. You lay down. Comes back with it. And the clear as day, there were those two eyes. And I was like,
were
okay.
Excited or
I was
nervous?
Shocked at first. I was nervous.
Well, you know how it works, right?
What?
Getting pregnant.
Yeah, well,
So you couldn't have been that shocked.
Touche. But in my mind, I thought we were practicing having a little bit of fun.
Oh, I see.
Before
the rehearsal dinner.
Yeah, before it actually was happening. But, you know, Amelia was like, no, I'm here, you know? And it's been that way the whole way, from the pregnancy to the birth. Boom, this is me, you know? So, but no, she's the best thing that ever happened to me and us. But it definitely was a whirlwind. And
how'd you tell the hubby?
I actually FaceTimed him because I had to be in Vegas for another, like, 2 days for
work. Wow.
So I couldn't hold it in. I was like, there's no way I'm going to hide this from him and come home and tell him. So I was like, hey, can you FaceTime tonight? And he's like, okay, we don't really FaceTime when I'm away. And so he's like, sure. I'm like, okay. So I'm on FaceTime, and I actually still have screenshots of him, like, being so happy. And I was like, I have to tell you something. And he's like, what? And I was like, I'm pregnant. And his face just went, like, lit up, smirking, like, tearing up. It was really sweet. That made me cry. And it was a really beautiful moment.
You're making me a little teary now.
It was. It was totally meant to be, even though I was like, oh, my God. But I think my personality and everything, like, the universe knew, we're going to just have to spring this on you, because if you have to actually, like, plan and do this, it's
never
not going to
happen.
Yeah, for sure.
What was your favorite and least favorite parts of pregnancy?
Morning sickness. It should not be called morning sickness. It should be called
all day
sickness. Oh, for 19 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, full blown.
That's really,
really rough.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I got it at the end of my pregnancy, too.
People do. The first and last trimester.
I was like, what is this? So that was, and then the heartburn. Those, that I did not, don't miss. I remember sucking on ice, like, every night. I'd be like, Justin, more ice, like, sucking on ice in bed every night. So that I don't miss. But I loved dressing my bump. I loved just feeling empowered that I could, like, feel her kicking and, like, know that I was growing this life and, like, feeling the transition and who I was becoming and all those things. So it was definitely a lot of highs and lows. But I love going to the red carpet and showing her off and people, like, you know, being like, Allie, turn and show your bump. And, you know, that was fun. But the sickness was not fun. And, like, having to run off set and leave my assistants while I'm styling a celebrity and be like, I'll be right back and go puke in these, you know, $10,000 bathrooms in a mansion were not fun. I'm like, oh, I probably owe you money for growing up in your golden toilet. You know, like... So that was not fun. But pregnancy overall, I did enjoy for the most part. Way more than the birth, we'll say that.
Well, let's talk about birth. What did you plan and what did you get?
That seems to be the way you roll the dice, huh?
Yeah.
I wish somebody had told me that. So I had a birth plan. Sigh. And my birth plan was I wanted a natural birth.
What does that mean to you?
It meant no drugs, no intervention.
Oh, like totally natural.
Totally natural.
In a hospital?
Nope. In a birth center.
Oh, at a birth center.
I wanted to find a happy medium.
Yeah.
So birth center, found my midwife, found my doula, like loved my team. And my doula was Lexis Haynes. My midwife was Robin of Push Midwifery.
Push.
And that's
cool. Robin.
And so they were my team. And, you know, they told me obviously things could not go to plan, but in my mind, the New York stubborn person that I am, I was like, no, it's going to go exactly because I took hypnobirthing and I did this and I did that and da 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 da. And of course, my daughter had other plans. So I labored for about 30 hours at push.
Wow.
And got in the tub and tried to get Amelia to cooperate to have her in the tub. And it wasn't happening. And Robin said, listen, you know, this is why we have a doctor for interventions for this reason. I really think we should go to the hospital. And that was a really hard decision for me to make because in my mind, I was already off my birth plan. I didn't want to go to a hospital. So I was transferred, went to the hospital. Dr. Polyakin was my doctor. He's amazing. So I was very lucky. He works with Robin. And he said, what do you want to do? And I said, I want to keep pushing. And he said, great, let's keep pushing.
Oh, so you're already 10 centimeters and you're pushing, but the baby's not coming out?
Right.
Okay.
I'm basically at destination station and I'm just, it's not happening. So he was like, well, I'll let you keep pushing because her heart rate's fine. You're safe. We've got you all hooked up on belts and everything. We can see everything's okay. So we'll keep going. So we keep going. And I think it was at about maybe 40 hours at this point. She had come down twice in the birth canal, and he had tried to grab her, and she shot back up.
Oh, wow. She did not want to check out of Hotel Alley.
Did not. Apparently, I made a very cozy situation. And I remember looking at him and going, why can't you grab her? You know, like, let's go. You know, and he's like, I have tried to grab her twice. She has shot back up. So now at this point, he put me on Pitocin because he's like, well, we're going to crank her out of you.
Okay.
And it was so painful. Oh, my God.
Oh, because you're still unmedicated.
Yes.
Like, no.
Yes. I was so painful. And he said he cranked me up, I guess, like 15, whatever the highest you can go on Pitocin or PIT, whatever
hospitals.
They call it.
Yeah,
whatever. That was so painful for me. So he was like, well, what do you want to do? And I was like, I can't handle this pain. Like, I'm trying so hard to handle it and push, but, like, it's not happening. So then I got on an epidural because I couldn't take the pain anymore. And at that point, honestly, I was so tired. I was like, I don't know what else to do. I was like, do I keep pushing? And my midwife, Robin, was still with me because she was amazing and stayed with me and saved my doula, Alexis. And they just said, listen, no one can tell you what to do. You have to make your own decisions. So they stepped out of the room. Justin turned to me and he got me as he always does. And he goes, babe, you've been such a warrior. And, you know, I never knew it was going to go this way, but, like, you've been amazing. And honestly, I thought after 2 hours you'd go epidural, you know, so I'm so impressed by you. But, like, at this point, I just want to meet her, like, don't you? And, of course, I just started bawling. And so that's when the doctor came back in, and he said, listen, we're going to have to go in for a C-section because it's not happening the way you want it to happen. So rolled into the OR. About 10 minutes later, Amelia was born.
Oh, piece of cake.
piece of cake.
Well, I'm sorry it didn't go the way you wanted to. Do you have any ideas why she wasn't coming down?
There's quite a few. She was too big.
How big?
8 pounds, 7 ounces. And you can see me. I'm a pretty petite girl. I have a narrow pelvis.
Okay.
Apparently, I also have something where, I guess, besides a narrow pelvis, something with my pelvic floor and the tightening, like I'm extra tight or something, because he was, Alexis, my doula, was actually talking to him about this, was like, after I had given birth, she was like, well, it's painful for her sometimes to have sex. And so he said, well, that would have been nice to know, you know, like going into this, because then maybe I would have known that she was so
too tight in her pelvic floor.
Yeah.
Okay.
So apparently it was a combination of things. Also, I did take castor oil in the beginning of it all. And that is, even though it's natural, it is an induction, if you will.
Yeah, kind of.
And so, you know, Dr. Polyakin said, hey, you know what? Maybe she wasn't ready to drop. You know, I was 40 weeks and 2 days, and my parents were in town. They were looking at me like a ticking time bomb. Everybody was making me insane. Social media was making me insane. I was making me insane. And I was just like, you know what? That's it. I'm done. Like, I need to do something. And I didn't want to be induced. So that was why I did the castor oil instead of going in somewhere and having them, you know, do the medication.
Induction, yeah.
Or sweep the membranes. But I guess in some way, shape, or form, it made me go into labor because within the next day, my water had broke. Yeah. But that also was hard because that caused major cramping and all that other nasty stuff the castor oil can do. And that made it, like, even more difficult for the day before I went in. I kind of had, like, pre-labor pain and then went into, like, full-blown labor. So for me, I think it was a lot more intense than maybe it could have been just because I added that factor. Oops.
Well, on that note, let's take one more commercial break and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Informed Pregnancy Podcast. We're talking to Allie Levine. You know, so many times the birth plan doesn't go according to plan. Sometimes it does go exactly according to plan, but it's sort of, I think, important to be flexible.
It is important to be
flexible.
And the
good news is, for you, you were surrounded by great providers, and you were not pushed, quote-unquote, into doing the things that you did. It just,
I was thankful for that.
You took the cards you were dealt, and you made decisions, and, you know, you had a good experience overall.
Yeah, I mean, overall, those 30 hours, everyone's like, oh, are you crazy? Honestly, those 30 hours were way more tolerable for me, and not easy, but like I felt like in my zone, you know, like I felt like in control of what I was doing. I was laboring her down. I was dancing. I was, you know, getting massages. I was, you know, rolling on the ground. I was doing squats. Like I was on the birth ball. I was, you know, I was doing things that I felt like were helping to labor her down and was keeping me comfortable. And I was part of the process. And for me, the reason for me personally, I didn't want to go to a hospital. I didn't want interventions is because exactly for what you just said. I wanted to advocate for my own self. I wanted to be in control. I didn't want to have someone tell me, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, this is what's happening. I wanted to be in control, and that's my personality.
I'm curious. Did you pick out things to wear during labor?
Of course I did. And did I get to wear any of them?
No.
No, because I was in pain, and then, like, you know, them hooking you up on this and that. I couldn't, like, get dressed in this. So, no, I didn't get to wear half the things that I brought.
I guess you'll have to do it again.
You sound like my husband.
Oh, thanks. Well, he did just text me to say that. All right. How was postpartum and feeding and stuff like that for you?
Postpartum.
We opened a can.
So the birth itself was crazy. And then my postpartum recovery was so much more intense than I think I could have ever imagined. So I was in the hospital for about a week after the C-section because I had to really heal. And because my birth was so long, they were like, you kind of need to stay and allow your body to heal and process, and then you can go home. So I was in the hospital for a week. Then I got home, and Amelia still, she wasn't fully latching in the hospital. She was latching a little, but it was like very on and off. And I was trying so hard, and I was pumping at this point in the hospital because I wasn't getting my milk, which I found out later on. Apparently, when you have a C-section, a lot of moms, their milk doesn't drop right away because something with you would
hormones,
know hormones and something with like that doesn't pass naturally, doesn't send the body the signal to like, hey, the milk should drop. And so my milk was 10 days late. So that was fun. So that alone, like not being able to like breastfeed, which was also on my check the box of what I wanted to do. So when I got home, I was like really flipping out because she's screaming. I'm now out of the hospital. I don't have a lactation person trying to help me latch her and get her some milk. So she's screaming at the top of her lungs. Justin's trying to keep me calm. He's running out to get emergency formula, God forbid. I'm in the house having a meltdown, yelling at my mom and dad and my mother-in-law and father-in-law to get my pump charged. And I got to pump and I got to do this. I got to get colostrum. And so I'm pumping away, you know, and they're taking this little Doppler and feeding Amelia because she doesn't have to use a bottle yet. I mean, it was like a whole scene in my house.
Sort of wish our listeners can see what you just did. All the hand motions from squeezing
that's
and pumping.
That's a New Yorker thing. You know, it's yeah, like, I'm just making sure to keep it away from hitting the table.
Yeah, just rewind 30 seconds and try to picture what Allie did with her hands for each of those things she described.
Right? And so, I mean, I'm very animated. But but it was just like chaos. And so I call, thank God, you know, Alexis, my doula, Rob, my midwife, and I'm like, hey, I'm home. I'm losing my mind. I can't get her to latch. Like, no problem. We will call a lactation team. They will be out to you by the morning. So thank God, Goldilocks. I'm still very good friends with them. I love them. Mm-hmm. Wonderful women. Came to my house, helped me, you know, get confidence, helped me, hey, you do this, you do that. You know, all the little techniques, as they would tell me, lips and hips and do this and, you know, all these things. And so obviously it took a few weeks, but finally I was able to get her to latch. My milk had like fully come in and we were breastfeeding, and I was like, hallelujah, okay. So I was able to finally start nursing. But regardless, I was still in bed because of my C-section. I was not a drive for almost 9 weeks, which apparently I've heard is pretty extreme.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, again, because I was so sore and because of the trauma of my body, my doctor was afraid that, like, I could tear or, like, stop short or something happened. So my mom was driving me around, so I felt like a child all over again. That was very hard for me. And it was just wild, honestly. It was like everything I wanted to do when I first got home, which was like give her a bath, change her diaper. Like I couldn't do because I've been so much pain. I could barely get out of bed for the first few weeks. Like
wow.
Justin was changing her diaper. Justin was giving her baths. My mom was helping. My mother-in-law was helping. Everybody but me. So in my mind, I'm like, cool, I'm already failing as a mom.
That
because
doesn't feel good.
No. I was like, I'm not doing anything except nurse her and give her back, and she falls asleep on me, and that's about it. Like, I just felt so disconnected, you know? I think that's why I led into my postpartum depression heavily, because I went through heavy postpartum depression after about 2.5 months in. I didn't know I had it, and then actually the Goldilocks team has a postpartum specialist, and they were like, oh, yeah, you are in full-blown postpartum depression. And so then I started seeing them for help and going to therapists and working on myself and meditating and just reworking on me. I had no idea how hard and how depressed and how dark I was going to feel entering motherhood, because in my mind, it was going to be like this glamorous, you know, new job that I was adding to my, you know, list in my world. And I was so amazed by her and obsessed with her that, like, how could I be so depressed? But I was horribly depressed. And it was like I would be with her and I'd be on cloud nine. And then as soon as she would go take a nap, I would look in the mirror. I remember literally looking in the mirror and being like, I hate myself. You don't look pretty. You look disgusting. Like, get in bed, cry, and go to sleep. And that was really what I was doing for quite some time.
Wow. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I don't know if you know, my wife has a program called the Afterbirth Plan.
I was checking out because she's going to be a guest on my
podcast. Oh, right. So she tries to work with people before they have a baby
yes.
to prepare
I wish I knew
for
her then.
Those
yeah.
hormonal and emotional mm-hmm. changes that take place and
so
the relationship
important.
Dynamic changes mm-hmm. that take place so that when it's happening, it's not the first time you realize it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And if you kind of fall into those little depressive pitfalls, you know that it's happening and you can get treatment right away.
Right.
Versus not realizing that that's
what's
happening.
No, I had no idea. In my mind, I was like, well, this is what it's supposed to be like, right? Because I just had a baby and I had a C-section. So, like, I can't go anywhere. I'm home anyway. So I'm just taking care of her. So, like, whatever. It's just don't focus on myself. Focus on her. It's all about the baby. And then one night I turned Justin in bed and I was hysterical. And he said to me, what's going on? And I said, I feel like I'm mourning the death of me. And he was like, excuse me? And I said, that's how I feel. I feel like I'm just like, bye, Allie. Like, that old Allie's gone. And, like, I don't even know who the heck I am anymore. And he was like, okay, well, yeah, you are a new woman in the sense you had a baby, but, like, you're still you. And I was like, no, I just don't know who I am. And that's when it kicked in for him. Like, holy crap, she's in a bad place. And that's kind of when he first said to me, I'm not trying to rock the boat, but I feel like you're in something and we need to work through it. And at first, I'm a quick fix kind of person. So he was like, go get a massage, go get your nails done. You know, and he would take her for hours on end. I would go do things for myself. And so for a couple weeks, it worked. I was like, oh, great. I feel pretty. And I got this done. I got that done. But then I'd be back home and I would have like ripped my nails off for no reason. I have acrylic nails for your listeners. So like, that's not, it's not like my regular nails. That takes a job to do. And I was like actually doing that. And he's like, aww, you just got your nails done. You know, and so it was like, I was doing all these things that weren't me and weren't who I was as a person. And obviously, like you said, that's when you fall into these cracks and you don't realize that you're actually going through something, which is postpartum depression.
But as sometimes strong people do, you have taken your experience and shared it to, I suppose, help other people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You started a podcast, Stripped Down, with Ally Levine.
Playing off Bravo Strip. Stripping down to real, raw, authentic conversations.
Mm.
And that's what I wanted to be all about, because I feel like, you know, that like there's so many people that don't have these conversations and don't know about postpartum depression and postpartum anxiety. And they don't know, like you said, that a birth plan totally could not go to plan. And, you know, maybe it should be called like a birth strategy. And, you know, and like there's just so many things that like obviously you enter this whole new world and you don't know as a mom. And in your mind, you've pictured everything picture perfect and you have these boxes you're checking and then nothing gets checked and you're like, well, what's wrong with me? Why did everything go out the window, you know? And then it really affects you. And for me, I feel like it went from, like, the trauma of my birth to how I felt about myself to then cystic acne to my C-section. I mean, my list just was like a laundry list. So for me, I felt like it just added and added. And then all of a sudden, I was in that, you know, pocket or creek of what you're saying of where I realized I was depressed, you know?
And in a nutshell, how has your career changed now postnatally?
Oh, yeah. So it's kind of wild how from going through postpartum depression, like you said, I started sharing my story. I started really being honest on social media. I signed off social for like a good 2 months and went dark. And then I came back and I said, listen, I've been gone because social media has literally been triggering me so badly with watching all these moms. No offense to their moms. They have their birth plan. Good for them. But I couldn't see it. I couldn't see someone else have the perfect birth. I couldn't see someone else bounce their body back 5 days later. Like, it was destroying me inside. Mm-hmm. And so I had to be really real about that. And I started sharing on social and saying, hey, listen, I'm not going to be posting glam photos the way I used to. I need to be really real and raw with you guys and tell you how I'm feeling and what I'm thinking. And people, I started just having all these followers fall off and being like, oh, well, there goes my influencer world. But then something magical happened. All of a sudden, my following started to double and people started following out of nowhere. And it was all these moms and all these, you know, pregnant women and just different people that, you know, even young girls who were like inspired by what I was sharing. And I was so like thankful and, you know, grateful that now this community was appearing for me. And so then I just kept sharing and then the podcast was born. And now being 14 and a half months out, I finally can see the light at the end of the tunnel. And my career has transitioned so much of being a mommy influencer and getting to work with so many different brands and helping moms with finding ways to make life easier and helping, you know, find different things with postpartum depression and aligning with different charities. And I have so many projects coming up this summer that I'm like so excited about to be helping other, you know, moms and women and everything. And it's been like so crazy how it's taken me down this path. And then the styling side of it is I'm only doing certain celebrities that I've had for years. And now I'm doing more moms and I'm helping everyday women get out of their funks and get out of the way that they, you know, like I was feeling and make them feel good in what they're wearing and find a uniform for them that they can put on every day but still feel good about themselves. So it's a really cool, different transition that I never thought I'd be in. But I'm just like, wow, this is pretty magical.
It's a whole different kind of rewarding.
Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate you joining us and sharing your story.
Thanks for having
me. And your energy. You know what's cool about your energy is when you were talking about your pregnancy and the parts that you loved and dressing up your bump and taking the photo shoots, there was like a whole euphoric feeling in the room. And then when you went to your dark side of postpartum, I was literally bubbling up with tears.
I mean, I believe it. And thank you for sharing that.
Where can we find you online?
You can find me on social at Ally Levine Design, A-L-I-L-E-V-I-N-E Design. You can find my website, allylevine.com, has my blog with fashion tips, people I'm still styling, trends, all that good stuff, and the brands I'm talking about. If you want to be styled by me, I am still styling, allylevinestyling.com. And my podcast on Apple and many other places where you'd find a podcast called Stripped Down with Ally Levine.
And if you're listening to this, then Ally is also now on Informed Pregnancy.
Yes, and I'm so excited to have your wife on soon.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Well, I'll be jealous when you guys get together. Jealous of both of you for hanging out together. At home, thanks for listening to us. If you want more information on pregnancy and postpartum, visit us at informedpregnancy.com.
Give me the news, I got a whole lot of questions for you. This kid's gonna test my will, I got a lot to learn and my baby's due.
This episode is sponsored by an innovative product that's made a big difference for parents and babies alike. Dr. Mom Butt Balm. As a parent of four, I've had my fair share of battles with diaper rash, often resorting to thick, unpleasant pastes. I only recently discovered Dr. Mom Butt Balm, and I was immediately impressed by its pleasant consistency and ease of application. This pediatric-approved skin protectant is free from dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, making it perfect for your baby's sensitive skin. It's designed by a doctor who's also a mom, ensuring your little one gets the gentlest care. A small dab is all it takes to soothe and protect, avoiding the mess and hassle of traditional treatments. With ingredients like dimethicone and petrolatum, Dr. Mom Butt Balm not only soothes, but also restores your baby's delicate skin. Available on Amazon.com and Walmart.com, it's the smart choice for every parent wanting to keep diaper rash at bay. Remember, with Dr. Mom Butt Balm, nothing comes between you and your baby, not even diaper rash.